once was a union maid who never was afraid of the goons and the kings and the company pinks and the deputy sheriffs who made the raid. She went to the union hall when meeting it was called, and when those company goons came round, she always stood her ground. Oh, you can't scare me. I'm sticking with the union. I'm sticking with the union. I'm sticking with the union. Oh, you can't scare me. I'm sticking with the union. I'm sticking with the union till the day I die.
Welcome to the Speaker's Corner Show. This week we have a report by journalist Will Roach, prepared for socialist.net, that's socialist.net, about the recent factory occupations in Britain, with exclusive interviews from inside the factories. The Speaker's Corner Show is broadcast every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. on Resonance FM. You can hear our archives on speakerscorner.net. And you can come down to Speaker's Corner at Marble Arch, London, every Sunday between noon and dusk. Now, you might think that if I were to describe a Britain where trade unions were active and where workers were taking over their factories and occupying them in protest against job cuts, that I'd be talking about the turbulent period of 1970s Britain. But not so. On the 31st of last month, about 200 workers from the Visteon UK car manufacturing plant in Belfast occupied their factory after the management announced that it was to be one of three factories to close immediately, claiming that the company had gone bust. The management gave the workers about 10 minutes' notice to pack up their stuff and get out. News of the events in Belfast quickly spread to the other two shut-down Visteon factories, one based in the northerly reaches of Greater London, in Enfield, and the other based in Basildon, in Essex. I travelled to the Enfield factory, which specialises in plastic mouldings, and spoke to some of the 80 workers participating in the occupation. And here's what they said.
Tuesday afternoon, about three quarters of an hour before our shift would end, they all asked us upstairs into the one of the meeting rooms, and the administrating accountant said we'd all be made redundant. We wouldn't be needed to come in the next day. I felt awful. You know, just really, really sick.
You know, I've seen grown men cry. We all have mortgages, you know. We have a young family to bring up. I don't know how we're going to cope.
The workers here feel that they've done more than their fair share to make the company successful.
We've gone from three shifts to two shifts to single shifts, saved the money, and with so much as the, 6 minutes to 10 minutes, we was told that we haven't got a job and it's goodbye, thank you, have a nice life. Very upsetting.
They are refusing to leave, stating that the Visteon management has violated its employment contract, which was agreed upon 9 years ago when Ford sold off the factory.
Now, it did belong to Ford first. Then they bring Visteon with us. But we still got a Ford contract. That's what we are fighting for. Because even our pension gone, anything. So we want to know where we stand.
But the way I see it, if I'm a Ford employee, Ford Mirror Terms and Conditions employee, that includes redundancy and any redundancy programs that Ford have. But for them to come and tell us you'll have to go with nothing, with like 6 minutes notice, come in, sorry you've got no job, empty your locker and go, that's what they've told us and we're not going.
To secure their occupation, the workers have blocked the entrances, but have to remain constantly vigilant for bailiffs, security and police who are trying to evict them on behalf of the administrators.
The reason we're here is because we've been treated disgustingly. We're now in jeopardy of losing our homes, our children, our families out on the street, when they could have quite easily have given us all just a reasonable amount of money, which we're not begging them for money which is not owed to us. It's money we've worked for.
They've been quite happy taking the profits from the work that we've done over the past 20 years. And they have got extremely rich out of it. And they expect me to sit at home with nothing. Or go out and find a job for £6 an hour.
Workers have spent 6 nights now sleeping on makeshift beds of cardboard. The lack of access to proper amenities and the sleepless nights are taking their toll.
It's tough. Every night's getting tougher, you know. You're away from your children and your family. But if it means we've got to squat here and stay here, we'll do it.
It's clear from speaking to the workers that the closure of this factory will have a devastating impact. The lives of these families was built up around the jobs in this factory. Other job prospects in the local area are remote. There was something odd about this situation. The workers had reported that for decades the company had been making tens of millions of pounds per year in profits, yet they were claiming bankruptcy. There were rumours circulating of foul play by the Vistian management. So I decided to travel to the other occupied factory in Basildon, Essex, to find out more. Here they specialise in car radiators. After learning they were all sacked, they too occupied their factory. Here too there is widespread anger.
I spent 25 years working for Ford Motor Company, and I paid pension money into their pension. We made a profit in this plant for good knows about 30 odd years. We made a profit in this plant. The last 2-3 years we haven't made a profit. They don't want to know us now because we're not making that profit that they want. No loyalty whatsoever, just left out on a rubbish chute.
I spoke to Des, who led the factory occupation here in Basildon.
We occupied the factory from 10 o'clock onwards. We were contacting the media and getting radio interviews, and it was getting widespread support. But during the course of the day, there was a big build-up of police, all putting on riot gear, Kevlar jackets, police dogs barking, and there was a lot of intimidation.
After being threatened with mass arrest, the workers agreed to leave peacefully. So they are continuing the protest with round-the-clock pickets. Des explained that the workers here are furious due to a new discovery which has shed light on the behaviour of the Vistian management.
A document has just come to light this morning, retrieved from Company House by the local MP, which shows that the head of Vistian UK, Steve Gould, had plans last January where he set up a new company, Vistian Automotive Products, with the clear intention of bankrupting the existing firm, slashing workers' pay conditions, and opening up again a new company in the same trading in the same premises, using the same machinery, probably employing new workers on lower rates of pay.
We believe from 2006, and maybe before that, they put a plan in place to arrive at this day that we've arrived at now. But we've got ways, and we're finding out how we're going to expose them.
The events here have captured the interests of local Labour MP Angela Smith, whose father used to work here.
I've never ever seen a company treat the workers as badly as Vistian has treated people here. Now, they went in one day after years of loyal service just to be told, go home again. Now, that isn't the way you do things. It's completely wrong, and they've got my 100% support.
Angela believes that the behaviour of the Vistian management has a broader context.
I've had several complaints now about companies using the recession not as, you know, as an excuse to change the terms and conditions of workers. And the workers in another company I'm dealing with have said to the management, we will take reduced terms and conditions until the company gets back on its feet. And the company's rejected that, wanting to change them permanently. And that seems to me that it's using the recession to undermine terms and conditions of people working in that industry.
The view that the recession is being used as an excuse was shared by another worker visiting in support from a nearby business.
I work in an industry which is agriculture. We're building tractors and we're making money every year. Well, we have done for the last 2 years, first time. But they're still taking advantage, trying to change their terms and conditions to obviously bolster their profits, taking advantage of the workers.
So it seems that the Vistian management have taken advantage of the recession to execute a plan which entails falsely claiming bankruptcy in order to shut down the company, only to then reopen under a different name, employing a new workforce on lower pay terms and conditions. Appalled at what they've learned, the Basildon workers have decided to leave their picket and travel to the home of Vistian UK's managing director, Steve Gorn, to deliver a letter declaring their demands. We drove for 45 minutes into the Essex countryside until we reached Steve Gorn's country manor. The workers were disgusted at the size of the property.
This is where Mr. Steve Gorn lives. You can see it's a nice luxury house. He's on loads of money. He's made more money out of us because this has been a thing that's been engineered by him for the last minimum 4 years. He's engineered to reach this arrive at this point. And we're not going to allow this to happen. We will do whatever it takes to make sure that this man is brought to justice.
Now turning up today at Steve Gorn's premises and seeing how much this man's really worth, I'm absolutely disgusted. Basically, this has been built off the backs of the workers who've worked for Vision and for Ford. This man has actively took a big slice of the cake for himself and left the rest of us on the scrap heap.
Back at the picket outside the Basildon factory, I asked Labour MP Angela Smith about the legalities of this issue.
The thing that I really want to get to the bottom of is the relationship between Fords and Vistion. These people here were told they would be kept on. When they transferred to Vistion, they'd be on Fords' mirrored terms and conditions. They were told they would have that for life. They were told they'd have it for their entire working lives. And then that's not happened. And that's the key thing here. Legally, is that allowed? So it's what's legally right. There is also what is morally right here.
After talking more with the workers and members of the local community, it became clear that there's a broader issue at stake here. In this instance, Vistion may or may not have violated the law. But even if they had honoured the workers with decent redundancy packages, the closure of the factory would still have been a disaster for many of the younger workers and for the local communities who are dependent on the factories for business and whose children may have grown up to work there. It seems that car manufacturers have been happy to accumulate huge profits generated off the back of the workforce over decades whilst the market has been good. But as soon as the market slumps, they abandon ship, shutting up shop in search of future profits and leaving broken communities behind them.
The community in the area, the factory, just is going to devastate the shops that are up the road, and just generally it's a feeling of anger around the area.
Britain's car industry has been deteriorating for some time. Ford no longer makes its cars here in Britain after shutting down its Dagenham plant. Vauxhall closed its Luton car plant. And along with the collapse of Rover, all this has led to thousands of job losses. In many cases, production has been moved abroad to countries with cheaper labour, like Eastern Europe or Asia. In other words, workers here in Britain are simply not profitable enough. Interestingly, a worker at the Enfield plant had an idea about a possible solution.
We can make anything plastic at all. We've got the machinery, all you need is the mould. I put in a suggestion that we could have made wheelie bins, because in Germany they're supplying the wheelie bins here for the UK. They can't make enough. Why couldn't we make the wheelie bins for England, for London, from this plant? You know, it could have got us out of the recession. It could have kept us going on until things picked up. Different sizes, two wheelie bins for every household. Now, how many houses are there just in Enfield Borough? Then about the UK, you could supply the whole UK. We could have been running flat out on that. I put the idea forward to the directors of Vistion in the UK, Steve Bourne and Bill Quigley, and they said, we're a car manufacturing company, we can't make those things. But I can't see why. I mean, if you're really seriously trying to save your company, you know, you'd say, well, we can do that and try it. We can try it out and see.
This is yet another example of how the Vistion management are simply not interested in the welfare of their workforce. I also asked Des in Basildon what he thought the solution was.
It's the pure profit motive that's driving this forward, is to undermine workers' paying conditions, cast them aside onto the dole in order to maximise profits. There's only one way to end profiteering, and that is through taking action, as we've seen today, occupations that have occurred in Belfast and Enfield, where the workers take production of goods into their own hands, and that we run society on the basis of production for need and not for profit. In other words, we have to get rid of the capitalist system, which is rotten to the core.
When I mentioned to the workers that occupying factories was against the law, this is what they said.
When we were discussing at the gates at 10 o'clock in the morning that arguments were being put forward that it would be illegal to occupy the factory, but my reply was that if the Chartists in the 1800s hadn't committed illegal acts, there wouldn't be general universal vote. If the Tolpuddle Martyrs hadn't broken the law and for their trouble being exported over to Australia prison ships, then we wouldn't have a trade union movement today. And if the suffragette movement hadn't fought the law, then women would not have the vote. So it's better to break the law than break the poor. That was a slogan from Poplar Council in the 1920s.
We all know at the end of the day what the government going to do, because they talk for the bosses more than they do the workers and the working class. So as far as I'm concerned, the trade union movement need to support the socialist organisations within the trade union movement.
I asked Des to tell me more about the history of the factory occupations movement.
The whole idea of occupation came originally from a tactic used by the labour movement, particularly in France, but also examples in America, in Detroit, and Flint, Michigan, where General Motors was occupied in the 1930s when workers were being threatened with layoff. Sit-down protests in order to establish trade unionism in General Motors in Flint. So the particularly occupation movements that occurred in the 30s in France and also recently. So workers draw inspiration from other movements and can feel like there's a copycat process takes place.
Morale at the two factories has been boosted by the support from surrounding communities. This lady was walking around outside the Enfield factory collecting money from visitors and passers-by.
We've been collecting donations so we can feed the workers that are inside, because they can't come out of the plant. And people are donating the money so we can buy them some food, toiletries, anything that they might need while they're inside.
Their campaign has also struck a chord with other workers and trade unionists. At this rally in London last Thursday, called together by the University College Union to discuss teacher job cuts, a representative of the Enfield factory has been invited to say a few words.
It's unbelievable to think that brutality after people have committed themselves all their time to the company. I'd just like to thank all of you for your terrific support. It's fantastic the support you've given to us all down here. So I really appreciate what you've done for us. Carry on the fight, and I think we've been an example for everybody that to stand up for your rights. So I'd just like to thank you all again for all your support. Thank you.
Back at the Enfield factory in North London, fellow trade unionists have come to donate money and food.
We had a big collection in work today with the money we've spent on food, and we give them some pound notes. We brought down some sleeping bags yesterday, passing it up, more the merrier. With all the collapses in the bank, there's too many people just thinking, oh, there's nothing you can do about it just because it's an international collapse of the bank. There is something you can do about it. It's about time someone stood up and did something, and this is people, people like these should be an inspiration for other people to go out and actually do something.
What we're saying is that employers can't use the current economic climate to tell workers that that's it, their jobs are over, there's no pension, there's no redundancy pay, and people are supposed to accept it because of the climate. Well, that's no. The money's there. They need to pay these men if their jobs are gone, or they need to give them their jobs. If they can bail out the banks.
There's going to be a lot of trade unionists, I think, who are going to be looking at this and looking at this as an example or to see how it goes. But also, I think there's going to be a lot of employers are going to be looking at this, and they're going to be looking at it in the opposite way to see what they can get away with. So this is why, this is why it's so important, and why we come down here, and why everyone needs to come down here.
I went inside the factory one last time to ask a worker what he thought of all the solidarity they were getting.
It's fantastic, great support we've been getting. That's what's kept us going, I think, on the roof, knowing that, we've got support out there. It's just really made the effort to carry on.
We have made an influence to the wider public, as well, because I'm sure the wider public know that it could be their battle another time.
This worker from a nearby factory was here precisely because he also feared it could happen to him.
I'm a shop steward from a tractor plant there, which is under an acre site. Over the last 20 years since we was taken over from by Fiat, we used to be Ford Motor Company as well, the workforce has got smaller and smaller and smaller. And of course what's happening here at Vistion to us is reflecting exactly what could happen at the tractor plant. And the fear is obviously that this sort of thing where you get rid of workers and not pay redundancy money, we could be next. And I think it's important that we show a solidarity with these guys and ladies, because you know, we just don't know what's around the corner.
The workers feel that unity is the key.
You've got to stick together, and if you don't stick together, your companies, your management will just walk over you and you will have no rights. You know, if you stick together, you can do a lot.
It's very important to make employers know that the workers will not accept them just running off with their money at the end of so many years' service to these companies. The companies need to be held accountable and give the workers back what they're due.
The workers from all three factories are holding out hope that their protests will force the Vistion management back to the negotiating table.
It's been a long time since anyone's demonstrated on roofs, and as far as I can remember, about 20 years ago. You know, but we are here for the long run. Ford and Vistion, they've got to realise that we mean business. You know, there's no way we're going to go down without a fight. We're going to be here to the end.
What do we want? Justice! What do we want? Now!
That was a report by Will Roach for Socialist.net and SpeakersCorner.net. The Speakers Corner show is broadcast every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. on 104.4 Resonance FM. You can also come down to Speaker's Corner at Marble Arch every Sunday between noon and dusk.
As I went walking through the ribbon of highway, I saw above me that inland skyway. I saw below me that golden valley. I said, oh, this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from the Californian to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. I roam and ramble, I follow my footsteps, the sparkling sand of the diamond desert, and all around me the same old noise. This land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from the California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. As the sun comes strolling, them dust clouds rolling, and us was cheating, and the wheat field leafed in, and all around me that same old noise. This land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from the California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from the California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. This land was made for you and me. This land was made for you and me.